radio station.
Help support KBOO Community Radio by donating your used car, truck, motorcycle, boat, or any other vehicle. We'll transform the old machine into resources for unserved and underserved communities, free training, recording equipment, and great programming for the Portland metro area, Cascadia, and the world. For more information about vehicle donation, call 1-877-KBOO123 or go to kboo.fm/vehicle.
And this is KBOO Portland. The time is 10 a.m. Stay tuned now for Chris Andre with Air Cascadia, followed by Flashpoints.
Cascadia. Today is Friday, December 12th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest, David Fedaki, the executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union Oregon affiliate, is joining us today to talk about Oregon, Portland's stats on the Joint Terrorism Task Force, an issue coming up very soon in January. As we all know, the holidays goes by in a blink, and the next thing you know, you're sitting in a room looking at Charlie Hales. That's not good. We are unique in our arm's length relationship with the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and we want to keep it that way. We want to sever all links with it. Right now, they're sort of, as it were, on standby. And should we ever find ourselves in a situation where we were being attacked by ISIS, for example, then I suppose that Mayor Charlie Hales would give the Joint Terrorism Task Force a bell, and they come thundering in, guns a-blazing, and save us all. Well, that being highly unlikely, the topic that will come up before the City Council in January. We're going to get a jump on that today, as well as some news about a new app from David. Before we get to that, though, I've got just a couple of headlines that I would like to call our listeners' attention to. If, as you know, very likely, or perhaps don't, because that's why you might be listening to the news, there is very disturbing evidence, circumstantial and as well as potentially damning, coming out of Chicago. Activists there say that the police have been using this stingray technology to listen in on the phones of various people during protests. The technology essentially puts up a wall between the user's phone and the provider, forcing phones in the immediate area to send data to the police instead of the nearest cell towers. Essentially, police become the cell tower, capturing any and all information that would normally be channeled through the towers. So, many people are aware of this. Many people are not. And again, it's rather like the issue of vaccinations. It's the people, those who are not aware and are a bit too incautious when it comes to the use of cell phones at protests. It's probably best not to bring a cell phone to a protest at all. Probably best not to have a cell phone, but that's another story. This, of course, intersects with civil liberties issues that we are about to be talking about, because in March of this year, the Illinois Supreme Court killed the eavesdropping law in that state. The controversial law required someone recording a conversation to obtain permission from all parties being recorded. It was ostensibly in place to protect citizens' private conversations, but instead it ended up protecting the police and lawmakers. from citizens recording their interactions with them. Luckily, the Illinois Supreme Court determined the law was too broad and violated the First Amendment civil rights of the individuals recording. But now, wait for it. Apparently, that law has been revived, been passed by both the Illinois House and Senate, and tacked on as an amendment to an existing unrelated bill. That's how they do it. And by the way, with the passage of this the budget, we now know for sure that Rio Tinto has consummated its biggest land grab yet, ripping from the Aztec nation a 2,400-acre tract of sacred land. Yep, done deal, people. And here's one for the history books and a slap on the wrist for stockholders like Bill Gates and George Soros. Monsanto. Yes, Monsanto stock has been downgraded to what's known as neutral from buy after an annual seed dealer industry survey showed bleak returns. So that may be the most the pressing news in 7 years for Monsanto, but great news, of course, for the seed industry, which has been monopolized by the chemi peddler ever since early 90s. I won't go into the stock prices and where they are and where they're heading. Suffice it to say, they're heading downwards. That said, we now want to welcome David Fidanke to the KBOO airwaves. David, of course, as we said in the introduction, is the executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union's Oregon affiliate. Good morning, David. Thanks very, very much for being with us today.
Good morning, Chris. Good to hear you.
Well, there's a lot on the table, and just because we're here in Oregon and we have an arm's length relationship with the Joint Terrorism Task Force, nonetheless, it does exist. We are fortunate in being unique in this respect. But how long that will last, especially with Mayor Charlie Hales, who's very pro-private sector, and as we all know, private sector is always...
Well, actually, Charlie Hales was the only commissioner back in the late 90s to vote against Portland joining the JTA.
That's right.
When he was a city councilor.
That is right.
As mayor, he's been skeptical about even the arm's length relationship the city has had with the JTF since the city renewed its relationship in a tentative way about 6 years ago under Mayor Sam Adams. So the council is going to be talking about whether to get in all the way or get out all the way. I think most of the council is not real happy with the lack of transparency that has existed the last few years. And also, apparently the FBI just has not been willing to work on a case-by-case basis in a meaningful way with the city of Portland. So we're going to hear a lot more about this in the next month or so as it comes before Portland City Council. There will be many in the community, particularly the Oregonian and Commissioner Dan Saltzman, who will be pushing the city to become a full-fledged member of the Joint Terrorism Task Force once again. Portland is the only city, major city in the country, that is not a full-time member of their Joint Terrorism Task Force run by the FBI and other federal agencies. And so it's something that folks should watch closely over the next month or so.
So in other cities where the Joint Terrorism Task Force has been adopted, what exactly have they done? Are there stories, reports, and so forth on what role they play?
One of the things here in Oregon is that we have a law that is not, it's not the only one of its kind, but it is one of the few that prohibits state and local police from either collecting or maintaining records about the political, religious, or social activities of individuals or organizations, unless there is reason to believe those individuals or organizations are involved in criminal activity. The FBI operates under a different standard. They will tell you they operate under a very similar standard, but in fact, once they collect information about an individual or an organization, they keep it forever. And as you may recall, even in the most recent strengthening of anti-racial profiling guidelines by Eric Holder, the U.S. Attorney General, they made an exemption for the Department of Homeland Security and for the FBI, so that the FBI can continue to map where Muslims reside in our communities. It's the same kind of activity the FBI did before World War II in mapping where Japanese Americans lived before the internment. So there are many, many good reasons why no state or local police agency in Oregon should be an active member of the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, but the most obvious one is that they operate under very different rules than we operate under Oregon law. And because of the strict secrecy involved in Joint Terrorism Task Force activities, the supervisors of any officers that are part of that task force cannot know what their officers are doing. And those officers create FBI records, not local police records. So those records are not subject to the same kind of purging requirement that state and local police records are.
Before we get on to the next topic of apps, one final question. This information that they might be collected and by the Joint Terrorism Task Force entity here, would that be shared with other, like, with other information gathering entities, the NSA, would it be shared by other agencies? And
that's the whole point, Chris, is, post 9/11, one of the main findings of the federal 9/11 commission was that not so much that law enforcement and intelligence agencies needed to gather more information, they needed to share it more. And so that kind of cooperative sharing is what it's all about. But of course, what the FBI has done and what the NSA and other federal agencies have done in the last 15 years, instead of not collecting more information, they have collected gobs of information about millions of innocent Americans, as well as foreigners. And if any of your listeners have not yet seen the Laura Poitras film about Edward Snowden, Citizen Four, I highly recommend it. It's a fascinating look at how that story unfolded and the kind of information that we now know because Snowden did what he did.
David, we've got news about an app and another app that is probably of great interest to listeners. Could you talk a little bit about what the ACLU has been up to in that regard?
Yeah, we joined together with seven other ACLU affiliates around the country and created an Android app called Mobile Justice Oregon that allows people to videotape encounters with the police. If they think the police have done something wrong, they can then send that video directly to the ACLU, along with a report outlining what happened. And I should point out that at this point, we have not activated the audio portion of that app because of the Oregon eavesdropping statute that requires someone recording audio in a public place to give specific notice to anyone that's being audio recorded. We believe that audio recording in those kinds of situations is protected by the First Amendment, but we're being cautious. We don't want anybody getting busted because they use our app here in Oregon. We are going to the legislature this session to get an explicit provision added to the anti-eavesdropping statute that would specifically authorize anyone to videotape and audiotape encounters with the police in the course of their duties in a public place. And one last thing I want to mention is that anyone who is audiotaping an incident involving police should do so from a safe distance and follow the directions of police if they tell you to get farther back, because you can also be prosecuted for interfering with a police officer, and people have been.
Many occasions. Thank you so much for that, David. My guest has been David Dyke. He is the executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union Oregon affiliate. And thank you very much for being with us this morning. Thanks so much. We'll put links to all of this stuff on the KBOO website if possible. Thanks. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, December 12, 2014. Sam Parrish engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
I'm out to sing songs that will prove to you that this is your world, and that if it's hit you pretty hard and knocked you down for a dozen loops, no matter how hard it's run you down and rolled over you, no matter what color, what size you are, how you're built, I am out to sing the songs that'll make you take pride in yourself.
I'm Lori Sonnenfeld.
And I'm Don Jacobson.
Together we bring you Moving On, Fridays from 12 noon to 1:30.
We feature both traditional and contemporary folk music.
We love to present live in-studio concerts from local and national musicians.